fingers trace the ancient text, the letters etched into the parchment by a hand long turned to dust. Rejection, it was a bitter pill to swallow, but history had proven it time and again. Humanity had a knack for turning its back on the divine, especially when pride was at stake. Take Jesus, for example, he'd walked among us, offering nothing but love and wisdom. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and preached a gospel of selfless love. Yet what was his reward? A crown of thorns and a cross, he'd been rejected by those in power, crucified for daring to challenge their authority. But he'd known it would happen, he'd willingly laid down his life for us all. A soft sigh escaped my lips as I leaned back against the cool stone wall of the chapel. It wasn't just Jesus who'd been rejected, God himself had been turned away time and time again. It was like Moses and Pharaoh all over again. Moses had warned Pharaoh of the consequences of his actions. Yet God had hardened Pharaoh's heart so that his power could be demonstrated through the Exodus. Perhaps history was repeating itself. Maybe God was hardening the hearts of our world leaders, setting the stage for another divine demonstration, an exodus of his church. Perhaps I close my eyes, my mind swirling with thoughts. We were all part of this grand narrative, whether we liked it or not. Each of us had a choice to make. Would we stand with God or against him? It reminded me of that fateful day in the desert when Moses had drawn a line in the sand. Those who had worshipped the golden calf had crossed over to one side, only to be struck down by their own kin. A shiver ran down my spine at the memory. Of such a conflict was unimaginable, yet here I was urging restraint in a world that seemed deaf to revelation. Chapter 6. The
first seal I recalled aloud, my voice echoing in the silence. The Lamb opened it and a voice thundered, come. A white horse materialized in my memory. Its rider crowned and armed with a bow. He rode with a purpose that left no room for doubt. Conquest, I shivered as I recounted the opening of the second seal. Again come rang out, a horse of fiery red appeared. This rider's mission, to rip peace from the world's grasp and sow discord. He held not just a sword, but a symbol of large scale destruction. The third seal broke, next come, called the third creature. A black horse stood before me in this vision. Its rider clutched scales, an ethereal voice echoed amongst the creatures. Speaking of scarce resources and hardship, my heart pounded as I described the four seals breaking. A fourth come and a pale horse emerged. Its rider bore an ominous name, Death Hades trailed behind him, shadowing his path. Their jurisdiction spanned a quarter of the earth, spreading death by sword, famine, plague, and wild beast. The fifth seal revealed an altar where martyrs rested. Their voices cried out for justice. Word in their unwavering testimony. I could only hope my words would serve as a wake-up call, an opportunity for mankind to veer away from this prophesied path. Yet as a witness, my role was not to intervene, but to warn. I scribbled down the names, a chilling list of nations that held the power to turn Earth into a barren wasteland. The leaders of these nations were not unlike petulant children, waving their nuclear arsenals around like toys. Their threats and posturing showed a gross disregard for the potential devastation their actions could cause. The count of their deadly toys stood tall, Russia 5889.
United States
5244.
China
4TUM.
France 2. United Kingdom
2255.
Pakistan
1SAM descending.
India 16410.
Israel 90.
North Korea 30.
A sickening display of power. These were the puppet masters of humanity's fate, and beneath them, ordinary people, families would bear the brunt of their reckless decisions. The irony was bitter. Leaders who had been chosen by their people showed no regard for them. The phrase "love one another" had lost its meaning in this world of ours. Egos and power plays had taken precedence over respect and compassion.
I found myself searching for signs in the prophecies for an indication of who might spark this cataclysmic chain of events. My mind lingered on the image of the first horseman, the conqueror, armed with a bow. Could he be an allegory for one of these leaders?
My gaze wandered over my notes again. The words seemed to jump off the page. Russia and United States at the top of the list with staggering numbers of warheads. China too had considerable might. But it was the first horseman's weapon that caught my attention. A bow, a weapon that requires precision and distance rather than brute force. A strategic weapon rather than a show of raw power. My heart skipped a beat as I considered this. Could this be pointing to a leader who prefers strategic warfare over brute force? Was there someone amongst these nations who was known for such an approach? As I considered this, I couldn't shake off the feeling of unease. The horseman's conquest wasn't a matter of if, but when. And while the prophecies didn't specify who he was, they were clear about the consequences of his actions. But as a witness, all I could do was document and warn. The choice to heed the warning or ignore it was not in my hands. Question hung heavy in my mind. Which country is the archer? In my desperate search for clarity, I pleaded with the heavens for a sign, and boy did I get one. The vision unfolded before me with startling clarity. I saw a ship cutting through the icy waves, a missile rising from its deck and streaking across the sky. Its flight was captured by a camera, its image broadcasted on screens worldwide. The missile found its mark and detonated with an earth-shattering explosion. Horrifying spectacle followed as a full-scale battle ensued. Its gruesome details unfolding on live television. Soldiers, men and women with families, dreams, hopes fell by the hundreds of thousands. Their lives snuffed out in an instant, their dreams turned to dust. I could trace this cataclysm back to one event, 9-1-1. That was when America was crowned to conquer and go conquering. But power tracks opposition like moss to a flame. Russia and China rose up against America, lining themselves in an attempt to control the world. This war wasn't new. It was as old as time itself, rulers battling for power. But this time, it had taken a terrifying turn. The weapons were no longer swords or cannons, but nuclear warheads, thousands upon thousands of them pointed at each other, like deadly arrows ready to fly.
while this terrifying dance of power played out. Most people remain blissfully unaware of the prophecy and revelation. They slept soundly in their beds, oblivious to the imminent threat hanging over their heads. But what would be the final straw? What would cause these countries and their allies to unleash such devastating power? The answer lay hidden in Daniel 7. I scoured the ancient text again, searching for clues that might shed light on this critical question. I was acutely aware that time was running out, not just for me, but for all of humanity. And so I continued my search, my heart pounding with a sense of urgency. I'd never felt before. I knelt on the cold stone floor of the ancient chapel, my eyes drawn to the flickering candlelight dancing on the stained glass. The words of Deuteronomy echoed in my mind, as clear as if they'd been spoken aloud. The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. God had been clear in his instruction, he'd raise a prophet from among us, an echo of Moses himself, a voice of reason in this world gone mad. This was his promise, and I clung to it like a lifeline. My heart pounded in my chest, matching the rhythm of my thoughts. It was true, God had always given us a chance to change our ways before the hammer fell. He sent Noah before the flood, a lone voice crying out in the wilderness for nearly century. And Jesus, he paid the ultimate price, offering his life as a bridge between us and our Creator. His sacrifice was an open invitation to choose God's ways over our own.
But were we listening?
Just maybe that spark would grow into a flame bright enough to light the way to repentance. And so
fingers trace the ancient text, the letters etched into the parchment by a hand long turned to dust. Rejection, it was a bitter pill to swallow, but history had proven it time and again. Humanity had a knack for turning its back on the divine, especially when pride was at stake. Take Jesus, for example. He'd walked among us, offering nothing but love and wisdom. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and preached a gospel of selfless love. Yet what was his reward? A crown of thorns and a cross. He'd been rejected by those in power, crucified for daring to challenge their authority. But he'd known it would happen. He'd willingly laid down his life for us all. A soft sigh escaped my lips as I leaned back against the cool stone wall of the chapel. It wasn't just Jesus who'd been rejected. God himself had been turned away time and time again. It was like Moses and Pharaoh all over again. Moses had warned Pharaoh of the consequences of his actions, yet God had hardened Pharaoh's heart so that his power could be demonstrated through the Exodus. Perhaps history was repeating itself. Maybe God was hardening the hearts of our world leaders, setting the stage for another divine demonstration, an exodus of his church, perhaps. I close my eyes, my mind swirling with thoughts. We were all part of this grand narrative, whether we liked it or not. Each of us had a choice to make. Would we stand with God or against him? It reminded me of that fateful day in the desert when Moses had drawn a line in the sand. Those who had worshipped the golden calf had crossed over to one side, only to be struck down by their own kin. A shiver ran down my spine at the memory. We were at another crossroads now. Would we choose God or ourselves? The answer seemed clear to me, but would others see it the same way? Only time would tell. For now, all I could do was bear witness to his truth and pray that others would hear.
Seven echoing in my mind. The prophecy painted a chilling picture of a future filled with terror and dread. I could see it in my mind's eye, as if it were playing out before me on a vast screen. A beast emerged from the shadows, a monstrosity unlike any other. Its body bristled with power, its iron teeth glinting ominously in the half-light. It moves with terrifying speed, crushing everything in its path with ruthless efficiency.
me from the depths of my vision and a mouth that spoke words of arrogance and pride. It was an abomination, a perversion of all that was good and pure. The rejection of Jesus felt like a slap in the face. Here was a man who embodied love and kindness, yet the world turned its back on him. The harsh reality was that mercy and compassion were alien concepts in the self-serving world. Daniel's prophecy predicted the rise of a new Babylon, and with it the rise of a leader whose arrogance would know no bounds. He would come from Iraq, promising peace and prosperity to a world teetering on the brink of chaos. His words would soothe the troubled minds of millions, his promises luring them into a false sense of security. He would broker peace between Israel and Islamic nations, staving off nuclear war and earning him world-held adoration. But this king was not what he seemed. He was the son of Ismael, born to deceive and manipulate. His reign would be short-lived, his promises empty. Peace he offered was nothing more than an illusion, a facade masking his true intentions. Israel had always yearned for peace under an earthly king, but they were about to learn that not all that glitters is gold. As I opened my eyes, the vision faded, leaving behind a sense of unease. Daniel's prophecy was unfolding right before my eyes, and there was nothing I could stop it. The beast was rising, and the world was dancing to its tune. All I could do was bear witness and pray for mercy. Unfolding before me, the vision of Daniel's prophecy still fresh in my mind. My heart pounded in my chest, echoing the dread I felt. World domination doesn't work anymore, I yelled, my voice carrying across the silent room. War doesn't work anymore, we've evolved into another place, but we're still acting like children. My words echoed off the walls, a desperate plea to an audience that wasn't there. I was alone, left to bear witness to a world on the brink of self-destruction. We're like kids playing with nuclear weapons, I continued, my voice shaking with emotion, threatening each other as if these were mere toys. We don't understand the gravity of what we've created. The thought was terrifying. These machines were designed to kill on a massive scale, and they didn't discriminate. They killed everyone and everything, poisoning the very land we relied on for survival. Los Alamos did a study, I said, recalling the information.
information from a report I'd read years ago. They simulated a week of nuclear war, launching 4,400 warheads. The result? 5 billion dead. The numbers were staggering, but they were nothing compared to the aftermath. Starvation would follow as crops failed and food supplies dwindled. Revelation predicts 2 billion will die from war. I'm the words heavy on my tongue. That 1760 nuclear warheads launched in a week. The reality was chilling. We were on a path of destruction and death, yet we refused to change our course. We need to stop now, I shouted, slamming my fist against the table for emphasis. We need to make a change before it's too late. But even as I spoke, I knew my words were falling on deaf ears. The world was spiraling towards its end, and there was nothing I could do to stop it. The beast was rising, just as Daniel had predicted, and all I could do was watch.
The day had finally come. I could see the images flashing across the screen. The Antichrist, once a beacon of false hope, now fulfilling the darkest of prophecies. He marched with American tanks and weapons, a relentless tide of steel and fire spilling into the lands that lay in shadows beneath Russia's looming power. I remembered how Russia had warned, their voices stern and unyielding, commanding respect for their sovereignty, but those warnings were ignored. And today they retaliated with the ferocity that matched the threat against them. The sky seemed to split open as China joined the fray, an ally in arms against this invasion. The streets outside my window were chaos incarnate. People ran screaming, clawing at each other in their desperation to find shelter from the imminent doom. Sirens wailed, a lament for humanity's folly. I found myself among them, my feet carrying me nowhere, and everywhere at once, buildings that had stood for centuries crumbled like sandcastles before the might of the unleashed arsenal. Hundreds of warheads turned into thousands, each one a harbinger of an unending night. In mere hours, nations trembled and borders disintegrated under the weight of their own hubris. The earth itself cried out in agony as it was scarred beyond recognition. And then came silence, a deafening quiet that followed the thunderous roars. I watched through tear-blurred eyes as nations that once boasted unassailable might were brought to their knees. Russia abandoned its homeland
very soil that birthed it became its poison. 5 months passed in a blur of grey winter and ash-laden skies before China followed suit. Its vast lands, rich with history and culture, were now barren wastelands where no life could take root. It was in these moments of despair that I found clarity amidst the ruins of our world. The simple truth rang clear, our failure to embrace love, compassion, and understanding had led us here. This wasn't just about geopolitics or territorial disputes. It was about our collective soul's direction. I sank to my knees amidst the rubble of what was once a bustling street corner, my voice barely above a whisper amid the stillness. Let us repent, I pleaded to any who would listen. Let's turn back from this precipice before there's nothing left to say.
Steeples, the vibrant stained glass that cast colors onto the worn pews, the church bells that once tolled in the mornings were silent now. Their echoes a haunting memory of a time before devastation. Where were they? I muttered, my voice swallowed by the wind. Why didn't they warn? There was a hollowness in those questions. The churches were always quick to condemn, always pointing out the sins of others, yet they failed to see the rot within their own walls. Their message was one of fear and punishment, not love and forgiveness. Where is the testimony of Christ? I questioned aloud, kicking at a piece of rubble. Where are the witnesses to his authority over the earth? The answers were absent, lost in the whirlwind of destruction that had claimed our world. The churches had been looking for a saint when they needed a sinner, someone who understood human frailty and still chose to walk towards righteousness. I remember the people who had clung to their material possessions even as the world crumbled around them. They loved their luxuries more than they loved their fellow man. They wouldn't take up their cross, wouldn't lay down their lives for another. Now it was too late. I choked back tears as I trudged through the ruins.
bones. The dead lay scattered amongst the wreckage like discarded dolls. The living fared no better. Looting and fighting had become the new normal in this hellish landscape. Lord, I cried out in despair, my voice hoarse, this could have been prevented. Food was scarce, what little remained was fought over like dogs fighting over a bone. When even that ran out, humanity turned on itself in desperation. As I witnessed such atrocities, we had fallen so far from grace, all because we refused to yield to God, to follow His path of love and compassion. As I walked through the destruction, I couldn't help but wonder, could we ever find our way back? This our final damnation, the consequence of our arrogance and pride.
The horrific numbers sprawled across the makeshift chalkboard. 100 million in the United States, close to a billion in China. The world was hemorrhaging life, and there was no tourniquet in sight. I don't understand, I murmured, my fingers tracing over the rough chalk. How could we let this happen? Echoes of London's fallen bells haunted my dreams. The Kremlin's empty corridors loomed in my nightmares. Beijing was a ghost town, Taiwan a graveyard, Japan. Japan was silent.
The consequences, I muttered, swallowing hard. We did this to ourselves.
Chest as I contemplated our handiwork. We had birthed a war of apocalyptic proportions, nurtured it with our hate and greed. And now we were paying the price.
Why? I question. My voice barely above a whisper.
My sleep was plagued by nightmares of blood-soaked fields and lifeless cities. Each night was a torturous reminder of our folly.
Why are we so blind?
I wondered aloud, my hands shaking as I wiped away at the damning numbers.
Why did we spend trillions on war when we could have been building homes?
I slumped against the chalkboard, the coolness of it seeping through my shirt and chilling me to the bone.
We could have been peacemakers, I lamented, clenching my fists.
We could have chosen love over hate.
But we had instead. We'd rejected God's love and turned on each other like rabid animals.
I can't understand. I confess to the silent room.
Why are we so destructive?
Lost the homes destroyed, the peace shattered.
I just don't understand, I whispered, my voice lost in the emptiness.
Stirred within me a fiery defiance that consumed my fear and despair. I was but one voice, yet I would not be silenced, not in the face of this calamity. I must rebel, I declared, my voice echoing through the desolate room. If I die trying to bring change, then so be it. But I won't stand by and watch our world crumble. Ooh. 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 I stood alone, yet the weight of my decision didn't deter me. Who will join me? I asked, casting my gaze around the empty room as if expecting someone to emerge from the shadows. The echo of my voice faded, replaced by the silence that had become all too familiar. But even in solitude I would not falter, I will walk alone if I must. I pledged I'll scream from every rooftop that nuclear war is not our salvation. It's not peace through fear we need, it's fear of God. The room remains silent, yet my words seem to linger in the air. Stop the violence, I roared, each word punctuated with raw emotion. Stop the hate, images of protests from decades past filled my mind. The fervor of a generation demanding change only to be quelled and forgotten. In the 60s they lost, I murmured. They retreated back into society and gave up. I wouldn't let their fight be in vain. We must vote for those who want change, I urged. Not for socialism or communism or dictatorships, but for those who are accountable to God. The world was crying out for change, change guided by love and responsibility. Not power and fear, it's time for those who respect God to follow his example, I implore. Stand up to the political powers of our day, I could almost feel their presence. Those who had fought before me and those who would join me now. Vote urged. Elect, express, and be an example of love, peace, and kindness. I stood tall.
The echo of my voice ringing in my ears. Alone or not, I was ready to fight. Let God be our leader. Let Jesus be our example.